Sure.
This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, happy new year 2018. It's going to be a great year because, of course, this is the year we hit our 500th radio show. Thanks for joining this week. Remember, this is your final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is now show number, we're getting close, 464. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. Well, what are the fastest, the 50 fastest growing women-owned or led businesses in the U.S.? My next guest knows a lot about this. A recognized expert in entrepreneurship, Dr. Marsha Firestone, is president and founder of the Women Presidents Organization, a peer advisor group for women-owned and led multi-million dollar businesses. She's also the co-author of the book, Women Presidents Organization's 50 Fastest Growing Women-Owned or Led Companies Guide to Growth. Marsha, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So first of all, why decide it was important to put together this kind of book?
Because I kept hearing stories that women started and grew businesses that were mom-and-pop operations. I took a ride to work with my husband and one of his partners. And his partner kept saying, you know, oh, women-owned, women-led business. Ah, they just, you know, grow these mom-and-pop businesses. I wanted to prove that that was not always the case.
So, Marsha, why do you think that women get the short shift in this place where there's plenty of very successful women-led or owned businesses?
Well, why do I miss that, Barry.
But why is there a perception out there, Marsha, that women sometimes do get the short end of the stick for not having achieved what is obvious? There's been a lot of success of women owned or led businesses.
Because there was a time when women did start just businesses that were smaller and in certain areas. They were in fashion, fitness, and beauty. And that was true at that time. But things changed. Things have evolved. In fact, I think we're at a big tipping point right now.
And so what did you find that was in common? Before we get to the people that are at the top, what did you find that was that all these women had in common that really led to their success?
They're driven. They really want to do it. That, for example, Baca, who was our number one winner one of the years, she absolutely was so motivated that she, for a time, operated her business out of her living room. And she had four kids.
Wow.
And she did all of this at the same time. She now runs almost $2 billion company.
Wow. And I really think from the start, me personally, having grown my own businesses and being married, I think it's a lot tougher out there for women. One of the reasons is just what you mentioned, the expectation of the roles are different. It's okay for a guy to go out every single day and to run his business. But if a woman wants to do that, there's also additional expectations that are on top of them.
They're still taking care of the family, although we're seeing more men who are stay-at-home dads, too. We're seeing a lot of that these days. If a woman starts a business, she is going to be responsible, for the most part, for the family as well.
And so we've also talked a lot on this show, Marsha, about the lack of access to capital for women to grow their businesses. Do you think that's still the case?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think the Small Business Committee in Congress last year published a number, and I believe the number was 7%. Women still get only 7% of the venture capital, and that's a small number.
Wow. We're talking with Dr. Marsha Firestone. She's the president and founder of the Women's President Organization. She's the co-author of a new book called Women's Presidents Organization's 50 Fastest Growing Women-Owned Led Companies Guide to Growth. Marsha, you talked about how really relentless commitment really was one of the factors to the women that were on top of this list. What other characteristics are there?
Well, they have innovation, whether that innovation is in the kind of business they start, the product or the service, or whether it's in how they market something. They're creative. They're definitely out there with new ideas. In fact, a survey I did before we created the 50 Fastest, I asked what were the single most important characteristic that helped you grow your company, and they all said innovation.
Wow. And then what would you say is number three?
I would say that number three is working with a great team, mm-hmm. creating a great team. I was a Ernst & Young judge for the business strategic business program a few years ago, and every single business, whether male or female, that I asked what was the explanation for their success, named building a great team.
You know, and I agree with that, because I've worked for, and I've written about this many times, many female managers, and I actually think they're better at creating teams than men are, because they really are much better communicators.
Well, I don't like to talk about men in a negative way, because I have a son, a husband, I love them. Although I agree with you in terms of communication, I'm not out there preaching that.
I understand. Listen, I've got two great sons too. I just think that this is something that women are better at, and men could really learn from how actually women communicate in a team, and hopefully we can learn from each other. This was also sponsored by, or was done in partnership with, American Express. Why do you think they took interest in this kind of project?
Because they are wisely aware that to empower women, one of the most important places is to start and grow your own business. And of course, they also are very interested in that segment of the market. They have been fantastic. They celebrated their 10th anniversary with the 50 Fastest this year. And because of them, we are able to conduct this survey, which does not require that you be a WPO member. It requires that you submit the data that we ask for, and then we verify that data independently.
So, Marcia, I can ask you a question, since it's now a new year. What is your outlook on small business and women-led or owned businesses for 2018, given that there's a change in taxes, given that we're in probably the eighth or ninth year of the recovery? What's your outlook for this year?
It's very good. Every single one of our members that we ask in the last 6 months have been very positive about small business. A big impediment for our members has been the regulations, and I think they're looking forward to fewer regulations.
And which regulations do you think really hinder small businesses the most from talking to your members?
Well, one problem is our health insurance costs. You know, the U.S. is the only country that requires small businesses to pay for health insurance, and regular sized businesses too. That is a very expensive proposition for our women. And if we could improve that and not hurt some of the people who need it, as well as improve taxation, I think they would be very happy.
So where can people get a copy of the book, a copy of the survey, copy of the results, or to participate in for the 11th year?
So we are sending those applications out, and they just have to contact us here at WPO. Our email is womenpresidentsorg.com, www.womenpresidentsorg.com. and just say, please send me an application. And we will be pleased to have you participate. There are both WPO members and non-WPO members who are part of this effort. Last year, we had over 600 applications.
Well, Marcia, I appreciate you being on the show, and I think it's so important you wrote this book. Thanks again.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure, Barry. Anytime.
All right. Appreciate that. Coming up, are you ready to start your own small business? Are you ready to take the leap? We'll show you how. This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
Good morning. I'm Jeremy Scott with your look at the roadways. The only issue we're seeing right now is on the Kennedy, where the express lanes are closed for midnight maintenance for the next 45 minutes or so, but still no delays anywhere you need to go. Now, if you do have to head out and about, we are seeing light snow, especially south of the city. Winter weather advisories in effect for LaSalle, Grundy, and Kankakee counties. That's going to last throughout the day. That's because of snow, a little bit of ice, so you may see some slick additions on untreated surfaces. Other than that, Eden's clear at 19 apiece to and from Lake Hook at the Kennedy Junction. The Eisenhower, that's 29 to and from Route 390. Stevenson, Dan Ryan, and the rest of your South Side expressways are looking good. Lake Shore Drive and the tollways not doing too bad, and the surface streets, as we said, they might be a little slick as you encounter some slick conditions. Right now it's 15 O'Hare Midway and 14 at the lakefront. The wind chills in the single digits. You're going to see a high of near 30 today. That's traffic on AM 560, The Answer.
Celebrate the new year with a change. Stamp your passport to paradise. Escape Chicago and join Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson in Riviera Maya, Mexico at the Secrets Maroma Beach, Riviera Cancun. It's an all-inclusive, all-suites, adults-only resort located in beautiful, sunny Riviera Maya, Mexico. Time is running out to book your trip through Apple Vacations. Don't get left out in the cold this year. Visit 560theanswer.com and search for the keyword passport. Presented by Joe Cotton Ford and Arlington Heights Heating and Cooling.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications.
Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Moult and get a free copy of the book.
Balance of Nature's Fruits and Veggies.
We love the product. I think we've been on it for, 12 years now, or pretty close, and we believe in it, and we're going to continue taking it.
I have a $1,200 knee brace because I have bone on bone in my left knee, and I have a torn cartilage in my right knee. And since I've been taking Balance of Nature, I don't wear my brace, and I can walk without pain. It's I have these copper things I used to put on my knees. I don't use those either. I don't use anything. I think it's just wonderful.
Have the confidence that you're giving your body what it needs. Call now to receive 35% off your first Balance of Nature order. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code Chicago.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moults. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, it's difficult to exactly know for any entrepreneur when it's the right time to either start a business or to make a significant change in it. it's hard for most of us to actually take that leap. Well, here to provide a soft landing is Bree Seeley, who's the author of Permission to Leap. She's been featured on NBC's The Today Show, Forbes, Inc., Medium, PBS, and Free Enterprise. Bree, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me, Barry.
So how do you figure out if you should take that leap, first of all, and then is it the right time? Because it's a scary thing, let's face it.
Yeah. Well, one, I firmly believe I don't know if there's ever a right time, right? In fact, usually when you go to take a leap, everything starts popping up being like, I don't think you should do this. And, you know, there's a lot of psychology that happens around that. But, you know, your car breaks down, or like the day I signed my first contract to work with a coach, I totaled my car and had a car payment for the first time. And, you know, like everything always comes up. So I don't think there's ever a right time. But really the journey for knowing when you need to be taking a leap is all an inner journey. I think culturally we look at leaps and we see it as this like big external grand gesture or thing or expansion or, you know, which is, but it all starts inside. And so, you know, in my book, I talk about the different phases that you go through as you are taking a leap. And the first four out of six are all internal.
You know,
and I think that's the most important part.
Yeah, I think the internal part, because sometimes you actually don't leap, but sometimes you get pushed. Because I remember when I got fired as a director of sales at Whitman Hart, I was actually fired and I was pushed off a cliff. And that day I went out and I bought a very expensive leather jacket because I want to remember every single time I wore that leather jacket that I was going to come back from being pushed, right? And so I tried to reverse the karma.
The thing that I always say, too, is that, like, there were probably hints and nudges and whispers leading up to that push, right? So the universe usually gives us two options. It gives us the opportunity to look at what's not working. It gives us whispers. It gives us hints. It gives us discomfort. It gives us situations and circumstances. And we get the opportunity to say, yes, okay, I see what's not working, and I'm going to take this leap. Then if we don't, if we say, no, I'm just going to ignore that, like, I'm good, I'm just going to stay where I am, I'm comfortable, I'm just going to stay here, then the universe breaks out what I call the universal 2x4.
That's right.
And
pushes you off the cliff.
You know, forces us to take that leap. And so, you know, which is why this inner work is so important. You know, the more you can be doing the inner work and be so, you know, comfortable and familiar with who you are, what you need, what's working, what's not working, you're going to know, and you're not going to have that 2x4 broken out, because you're going to take action at the whisper and nudge stage.
And I always talk to people about it's important to take action, because I think this idea that you discussed, why it's very, very critical for you to say yes to your leaps, because to me, that's what life and career advancement is really all about. It is about taking these risks. And without that, life is pretty boring and it just kind of drones on.
Absolutely. I mean, I have a great mentor. In fact, the man that wrote the foreword to the book, Naveen Jain, he's amazing. And he said to me one day, I was like, I'm sick of all the ups and downs. And, you know, I just want like things to go really smoothly. And he's like, Bree, if someone's on life support and you're looking at the heart rate monitor, ups and downs mean they're alive.
I like that.
And, you know, the flat line means that they've died. And so there's always going to be ups and downs. The more that you can take action, the more that you can put yourself out there and follow what it is that you're supposed to be doing in this life, the more fulfilled you're going to be. You know, it doesn't save you from the ups and downs. It makes the ride worth taking.
You know, one of the things, Bree, you talk about in the book, Permission to Leap, is how it is important to have this daily practice that supports you in the leap, because I think too many people depend on others to make sure that leap goes well. And what you talk about is really part of the success is what you do internally that's independent from others.
Yeah, absolutely. I talk a lot about like the physical world, which is everything that's outside of us, and then the spiritual world, which is pretty much what's inside of us, the things we can't see, faith, trust, our emotions, you know, supporting ourselves, all those things. And, you know, everything in the physical world is always temporary. Always. There's only one thing that will be consistent through each of our lives from the moment we are born until the moment we die. And that's ourselves. And we're taught so much to look outside of ourselves for solutions, for fixes. You know, we go to friends for advice. We go to someone to make us feel better or whatever. But really, for me, the process has been, how can I do that for myself? Now, that doesn't mean I don't receive support. That doesn't mean I don't have people around me that support, you know, that help me or whatever. But that morning practice is where I have learned to fill myself up and really approach life from this centered, grounded, powerful place where, like, the essence of me is what's leading the way, not any of this temporary stuff, circumstances, situations, people's relationships, whatever that's outside of me.
So what things are you doing in that daily morning practice? What kinds of things are you focusing on or saying to yourself?
It depends on the day. I try and keep my practice pretty flexible because I like to have a little bit of flow. But for example, this morning I got up and, you know, fed the cats and made my cup of tea and made my breakfast and sat down and gave a little prayer, a little gratitude over my meal. And then as I was eating, I was reading a book of mine that I'm currently reading about moving from codependence to co-creation. I read a lot of psychology books. And, you know, now I'm speaking with you. I'm going to go do a little physical movement, do some journaling. I did a hypnotherapy. I did a hypnosis earlier this morning. And it's just really things about, you know, again, turning inward. The more that you can know your inner landscape, you're going to know when it's time to take that leap. And you're going to have the strength to do it because you've been doing all the work. You know, you wouldn't go into the gym and pick up the 500-pound weight and expect yourself to be able to, like, do it, right? You have to work your way up to that. And that's what the daily practice is. It's that daily internal exercise to give yourself the strength to be taking these risks and doing these big things and leaping in the world.
We're talking with Bree Seeley. She's the author of a book called Permission to Leap. So, Bree, you talk about that there are six phases of the leap process. What are those?
So the first one is commitment. If you're not saying yes to your leap, then you're not taking it. So easy.
That's
first
true.
Step, yes or no. The second one is about alignment. So typically when you say yes to something new, anything that's in your physical world that's been aligned with your old path, your old trajectory, has to disintegrate or be let go or break down because you're going to be building a new path for yourself. So the second phase is all about alignment. The third phase is all about clarity. And I use visualization practice to help with this. And I actually take it a step further. Yes, there is brain chemistry that happens when you visualize. And the more you can feel into what it feels like to be in the moment where your leap has manifested itself, the better. So I've moved from visualization to, one of my clients dubbed it, feelization.
I like that.
So that's step three. Step four is what I learned from a mentor as the universal double check. There's always a moment right before your leap, like right before you actually take the leap, where the universe presents you with something that's like, are you sure? Is this really what you want? That car accident I mentioned was one of my universal double check moments where I could have backed away from that coaching contract and been like, okay, I'm good. I'm going to let the physical world determine my life. And I didn't. I moved forward with it. And I can honestly say that had I not made that decision 2.5 years ago to trust myself and to move forward with that leap, I wouldn't be talking here with you on the phone right now. So that's step four. Step five is the leap, right? So taking action, bringing it from the internal into the external. You know, whatever that looks like for you, I talk a lot about inspired action and how you take inspired action versus just blindly taking action all day, every day. And then the final phase after you've really started implementing your leap is the feedback loop, because you want to make sure that you're maintaining alignment. And if you check in with yourself regularly about what's working, what's not working, what feels good, what doesn't feel good, what's creating the results I want, what's not, you know, that really helps you kind of stay the course and create for more of a marathon of a leap versus a sprint.
Well, Bree, that's all the time we have. If you want to get in touch with Bree, you can go to our website. It's BreeSeeley.com. It's BRISEELEY.com. And the title of the book is Permission to Leap. Bree, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Barry.
This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
Larry Elder has seen a great first year from the Trump administration.
For all the BMWing about how Donald Trump hasn't fulfilled this position, that position, all of these positions that supposedly have been left unfilled throughout government.
You're telling me every single bureaucrat is necessary.
And we're seeing this all throughout government, as President Trump believes that we've got way too many federal workers doing way too many things that shouldn't be done by government in the first place.
The Larry Elder Show, weeknights at 7, right before Jay Sekulow at 9 on AM 560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Mike Cantor. President Trump meeting with top cabinet and congressional leaders at Camp David this weekend. The president optimistic about the outcome of the meetings.
Security discussed, infrastructure discussed, military and all types of military situations and applications discussed. General Mattis is here.
Protests in Iran continuing throughout the weekend. Pro-government demonstrators taking to the streets Saturday.
The first protest appeared in the north of the country, but spread elsewhere. People waved Iranian flags and chanted anti-U.S. and anti-Israel slogans.
Fox's Kitty Logan in London. Protesters gathered outside the White House in Washington, showing their support for Iranians standing up against their government's regime. There's one winning ticket sold in last night's $560 million Powerball in New Hampshire. Fox News, we report, you decide.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
Good morning, happy Sunday. I'm Jeremy Scott with your look at the roadways. The only major issue we're seeing right now is on the Kennedy inbound, where the express lanes are closed for the next half hour for midnight maintenance. Other than that, the rest of your roadways are looking good. If you are heading into the city today, the Blackhawks play a matinee at the United Center. Puck drops at 2 against the Edmonton Oilers, so expect some additional traffic on the roads around the United Center, especially the inbound and outbound Eisenhower. Rest of your roads not looking too bad. This update sponsored by Foundation for a Better Life. Deaf and blind, Helen Keller overcame her world of darkness. Foresight, pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com. We want to let you know a winter weather advisory kicks into effect for LaSalle, Grundy, and Kankakee counties at noon. Rest of the area could see some snow throughout the day with temperatures finally reaching around 30 degrees. It's 15 and 0 here, Midway, 14 at the lakefront. That's traffic on AM 560, The Answer.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@moltz.com. That's barry@moltz.com.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-694-7394. 800-694-7394. That's 800-694-7394.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, something that we're all kind of scratching our heads about in the new year is, how is your small business going to be affected by the new tax plan? Here to help is someone that describes herself as having the is being an entrepreneur and having the brain of a calculator. Krista Morgan started P2B Investor over 5 years ago with the mission of helping grow businesses. Krista, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
I love the idea that you're an entrepreneur that has the brain of a calculator. So there's a lot of calculations that have been made. What's your take on how the new tax plan will affect small businesses?
So on the one hand, I really think the tax plan is going to help the economy. So we saw great GDP growth in Q3 of last year, and I think the tax plan will help keep that going, which is good for business, right? If the economy is growing, there's a lot of opportunity for small business owners to like seize the moment and invest in their growth.
And so that could be for the short term, because a lot of people are saying, yeah, it's going to juice the economy for another year and a half. We're already 8 years into economic expansion from the recession. But do you have any fear of what might happen after that year or two?
I sure do. I mean, I think the long-term implications, we don't know what those are going to be. And really, no one knows how long the boost to the economy is going to last. But I still think there's an opportunity to seize the moment. What I think is that as a small business owner, and myself as an entrepreneur, how do I invest wisely? How do I stay lean? And how do I really pay attention so that if I see that slowing down, I can like ramp down quickly and I'm not stuck. I'm not like over my skis.
Yeah, I think one of the problems that we face, since this really was a one-party tax plan, if this year the Democrats come into power, they can go out and just reverse the whole thing. So there's really nothing that small businesses can really count on.
You know, it's funny. It's hard to reverse things, I think, as we saw with the healthcare plan, right? It's not really as easy as all that. So you're right that there's a lot of change happening these days, and it's hard to know where to go as a small business owner. At the same time, I think you have to roll with it. And we are good at taking risk, and you do have to take a bit of risk and sort of, make some choices to act on what's happening right now.
Yeah, one of my worries is that small businesses are going to spend a lot of time this year how to game the new system, right? Because there's different taxation for pass-through businesses versus C corporations. And really, leave that up to your accountant or your advisors. Go out and run your business and forget about how you're going to game the new system.
I totally agree, and we don't – I don't know how much benefit, there's going to be. And you're right, it's going to take months to figure out, how the new system works. So agree. I would say now is the time to really focus on the growth in your business.
So talk about growth in your business. Everyone needs capital to grow. The outlook of and the environment for small loans really has changed with the internet. What do you see the future in 2018?
I think 2018 is a good year for lending. Even though banks aren't lending at the level they were, in 2007, there's still strong growth on that end. And then you have all these online lenders that have come out to really bridge the gap and make sure small businesses have access to capital.
So tell us a little bit about P2BI and who do you lend to?
Yeah, we lend to really product and services companies that are growing, that are getting in market. They don't yet qualify for bank financing, but they really need capital to help finance their receivables and inventory.
And so what size businesses are you looking at, and what kind of loans are available through your organization?
We provide, it's a revolving line of credit, which is nice because it grows with you as you grow. We typically work with businesses anywhere from $500,000 in revenue up to about $10 million.
And so tell us a little about how those, is it just a direct loan from your business, or is it done some other way?
Well, there's a lot of magic in our process.
There's always magic when it comes to money, right?
That's right. No, we are a little bit different. So we're what's called a marketplace lender, which really means we take capital from private investors on a platform, and then we act as the middleman, doing all the underwriting and management of the lines of credit, and we lend that out to small businesses.
And so what can you do to, in general, increase your chances of actually getting a loan to grow your business?
Honestly, good financial management, you know, having a good bookkeeper that's going to keep your books updated regularly. I see so many businesses that aren't doing that, and it's really important if you want a loan. You know, your lender really wants to know that you know what's going on in the finances of your own business. And then, you know, it's sort of making sure that you are watching your costs, that, you know, you aren't spending more than you're making. I mean, we don't ask for much, right? It's pretty basic stuff. And then we're happy to make you a loan to help with that growth period.
Right. And don't be like the federal government, spending more money than you're making, right?
Do not do that.
Do not do that. If you want to reach Krista, go to www.p2bi.com. Krista, Happy New Year, and thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Coming up, we're going to talk about, in 2018, how you can get your business to scale and what kind of pitfalls you should be looking for. This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Jeremy Scott with your look at the roadways. On the Kennedy, the express lanes are closed for midnight maintenance until the top of the hour. So for the next 15 minutes or so, you'll see no access to the express lanes. Other than that, the rest of your roadways are moving well so far this morning. We're seeing no major problems out there outside of what we mentioned with the Kennedy express lanes. Surface streets looking pretty good so far, but if you are going south, you do want to keep in mind that there is some snow moving through the area, so some of the surface streets and untreated surfaces may still be covered with some light snow, but it's not too bad out there. Do want to keep in mind also that winter weather advisory kicks into effect later today for LaSalle, Grundy, Kankakee, and all points south. We'll see temperatures in the mid-30s, some snow, wintry mix likely. Right now it's 14 O'Hare, 68 Midway in the lakefront. That's traffic on AM560, The Answer.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he's finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@moltz.com. That's barry@moltz.com.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
You know, I always hear this question in one way or another. And the question is, but will it scale? Because if a business doesn't scale, if it doesn't get larger, then you don't really have a business. You just have a job. Here to show us how to scale is Ron Carucci. He's the co-founder and managing partner at Navalent, working with CEOs and executives pursuing transformational change for their organizations, leaders, industries. He is the best-selling author of 8 books, including the most recent Amazon number 1, Rising to Power. Ron, welcome to the show.
Barry, so great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
So why is this important? Will it scale so important?
Well, because I think too many leaders, especially those who are entrepreneurial in nature that want to start their business, they tend to confuse growth with scale. They think if it's getting larger, if I'm getting more revenue, if more things are happening, if more customers are calling, it must be scaling. And that's a dangerous assumption. It may be growing. You may be adding more top-line revenue, but you may not be scaling, meaning you're adding more revenue faster than you're adding cost. And so you can that all that income, all that opportunity may be hemorrhaging out the back door that you may not even be aware of seeing it. Too many entrepreneurs spend so much time working in the organization, they don't know how to step out and work on the organization,
right,
and really test for, is what I have built scalable, and do I know how to scale it?
So what does it mean then to scale a business if it's not just growth?
So I think it means 3 things. One is, one of the words I hear, you see most entrepreneurs who are trying to aggressively grow their babies, they get really averse to things like standardization, to processes, to things that create the efficiencies that allow scalability. They associate them with bureaucracy. They associate them with the very corporate things they left some other large company to get away from. But the reality is, when you ask them, well, tell me what your strategy is, they'll hand you a business plan that tells you how much money they can make. They'll hand you a mission statement. They'll hand you product goals and counterfeit. But if you ask them, tell me who your competitors are, tell me why the customers you're serving would choose you over them, tell me what you're going to be better at than anybody else, and give me the swim lane you intend to stay in, and tell me who you're going to say no to. And until you can tell me that, you don't really have a strategy, and most entrepreneurs hate imposing those kinds of constraints on themselves. So the first thing they've got to do is get clear on the swim lanes and the strategy they're pursuing. The second thing is organization. So that strategy is embodied in an organization. Tell me what the work whoever's in your organization is doing that truly is your competitive work, the things that your secret sauce, if you invested $1 in, you get $5 in the door. And tell me what your necessary work is, the work that everybody has to do that you just need to get out the door. And tell me how you separated those, because if you mix your competitive and your necessary work, the competitive work always loses. And if you walk into most startups, you often see the classic phenomenon of a $50 million company trapped in the body of a $10 million organization, or a $100 million company trapped in the body of a $30 million organization, meaning you hear the seams ripping, you hear people tearing their hair out, but you don't see an organization that can handle the capacity you're asking of it. And so you've got to step back long enough to understand how to design the organization with scalable processes, meaning repeatable, standardized, efficiency, and the right talent doing the right competitive work. And the last thing after organization is leadership. Do you have people who can grow and lead more extended parts of the organization? If you struggle to let go, and most do, of the work that they're doing so that others can lead it and let the organization and their baby have reached beyond them, it can't scale because by default they're choking it. And most entrepreneurs struggle as they get growth, they have a hard time separating their identity from the thing they've built. So they become the entrepreneur, you know, the entrepreneurial experience for their customers. And so they have a hard time letting go. And so their identity becomes too wrapped up in it, and people underneath them suffocate.
You know, Ron, I love what you're talking about, because I've always said that the magic formula for any business is really their people times their process equals profit. And I think you're exactly correct when you say that a lot of entrepreneurs, they fight against establishing processes inside their business, because partly that's they broke away from this was the reason they got their business started in the first place. But large businesses need processes.
Yep. And so do small ones.
That's true.
Even the smallest business can have something standardized. And the reality is the fear, it's an misguided fear that somehow if we standardize things, we're going to lose our entrepreneurial vibe. We're going to crush creativity. We're going to take our innovative spirit and somehow squelch. Actually just the opposite of what's true. With all of the mayhem, with all of the having to reinvent something every time you do it in a different way, you're causing people to burn out and crazy. If you walk into many startups, you see people who are exhausted, frustrated, confused as to what their role is. And the mayhem that sort of can loosely present itself as excitement of a startup is really masking how much stress people are under. The truth is, a good standardized process should liberate your creativity. It should set free your entrepreneurial vibe because it set the boundaries. So within those boundaries, you have plenty of maneuvering room to continue to be entrepreneurial and creative. But if you have no boundaries at all, you're hemorrhaging cash out the door, hemorrhaging capacity out the door. And, you know, your growth is now defined by Costco called or Walmart called or some big order came in, and now default is your strategy, and that's just not sustainable.
Right, exactly. Other people are dictating what your strategy is. So, Ron, I think this is excellent advice because I think a lot of businesses fail to scale. Where can people learn more about what you're doing and get a copy of the book?
Yeah, I love it. Thanks. So come visit us at www.navalent.com. We have a great blog. We have a quarterly magazine for free. If you want, we have a free ebook on leading transformation in organizations. So if you've got some big change ahead of you trying to scale, our book called Leading Transformation in Organizations is available to you for free. It's www.navalent.com/transformation. I'm on Twitter at Ron Carucci. Let's keep the conversation going.
Ron, thanks for being on the show. Coming up next, what happens if you start a business on the side and it actually works out? We'll talk about that straight ahead. This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Boss, there's a photographer out here who wants to do a piece on Jimmy John's for her magazine.
What kind of piece?
Well, she heard about a clothing optional delivery policy and...
Did you tell her the naked driver incident was a momentary misunderstanding?
Yes, sir, but...
Did you tell her it's our meats that are going all natural, not our drivers?
Yes, sir, that's not...
Did you tell her Jimmy John's is committed to serving sandwiches with only the finest all-natural ham, roast beef, salami, bacon, and real fresh turkey breast?
Yes, sir, I did, sir.
So she wants to photograph our sandwiches?
No, sir. Actually, she wants to do a calendar.
A what?
A calendar. You know, the men of Jimmy John's.
Dibs on January.
One size fits all has no place in your bedroom. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, founder of Helix Sleep, and we know one mattress can't work for everyone. That's why we created the only mattress built for you. Go to helixsleep.com, take our two-minute sleep quiz, and we'll build your custom mattress and ship it to you for free. Try it for 100 nights, and if it's not the best sleep you've ever had, we'll pick it up and give you your money back. Go to helixsleep.com/talkradio right now, and we'll give you $50 towards your custom mattress. That's helixsleep.com/talkradio.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Moltz.
Well, my friend Pam Slim always refers to a business started part-time as a side hustle. But what happens when this side hustle actually becomes your full-time job? My next guest is Susie Moore. She's the author of What If It Does Work Out? how a side hustle can change your life. She's an advisor to high-growth startups in Silicon Valley and New York, and she's appeared on The Today Show, The Huffington Post, Forbes, and Time Magazine. Susie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Barry.
So, Susie, I think a lot of people start out a business on the side, but they never think about, wow, what if this actually works out?
Exactly. And fear of failure and worrying about things going wrong prevent people from starting anything at all.
So what's the first step you should take to prepare if it actually does work out?
The most important thing is to understand that you have to have a joy, a passion for the work that you're doing. You have to know that you're good at it, and you have to know that there's a market for it. If you have just three of those things ready to go, you have a hot side hustle on your hands.
Now, I always say, as far as finding a market for it, that really starts with, does anyone actually pay you to do your side hustle, right?
Yes, exactly, because a side hustle is an inexpensive hobby. It's a money-making endeavor. So one good thing to know is that competition in the market you're entering is actually a very good sign.
Right, and if people are actually paying you money to actually do your side hustle, that's also a good thing because people vote with their pocketbook.
Exactly. And it only takes one paying client to take you from a hobby to a hustle. And once you have one, you know you can attract more.
How do you make that decision actually to start to spend money on your side hustle? Because it's one thing to do it in your free time, but now you're spending your savings actually on this business. And that can be a difficult leap for a lot of folks.
Yes, that's why I recommend starting your side hustle with $0 and then only making money that you spend by your product or service and investing your side hustle money back into your business. It's not meant to touch your salary at all.
And I think that's a really good suggestion, because then that forces your side hustle actually to progress and produce instead of using your side hustle as an expensive hobby that really just distracts yeah. you from doing anything else.
Yes, exactly. When you start making money, you can invest it back. You can get a website, you can get a logo, you can get some support, but not until you're making money first. And then it's not about revenue either, right? It's about profits and margins and being able to manage those from the get-go too.
So give us one example with the 45 seconds we have left of someone who is a side hustle entrepreneur that you really admire that became successful.
Yeah, one of my program students at Side Hustle Made Simple, recently she declared herself a party planner, and she's already got three parties booked this season at $1,500 each. She just announced it via an email, and there you go, she's a party planner with money in the bank.
Wow. And is there a good time mm-hmm. of year, especially a good time of year, to start a side hustle?
The new year is always a great time, but really any time is a good time, because all we ever really have is now. And the most important thing is just to take action immediately.
Well, Susie, I appreciate you being on the show. Where can people reach you and get a copy of the book, What If It Does Work Out? How a Side Hustle Can Change Your Life?
The best place is on my website, which is www.susiesusie-moore.com.
Well, Susie, thanks again for being here. And I want to thank all of you for joining us this week. I want to thank our sponsors, Nextiva. Also, I want to thank our booking producer, Sarah Schaffrin, our in-studio producer, Debbie Schreiner, our marketing manager, Courtney Dury. If you're serious about being successful in the new year, 2018, you got to give me a call. And I've set up a private line for this, 773-837-8250. Or you can email me at barry@moltz.com. Isn't this the year that you finally get your small business unstuck and make the money you deserve? Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a very happy new year, and most importantly, have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymoltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
Allergy congestion.